The kings of Macedonia, Orestes to Argeas II. Now, there's quite a few people here, and many of them aren't going to reign for very long, so it's going to get a little confusing, perhaps. Let's start with Orestes. Now, Orestes, of course, will follow Archelaus. He was the king of Macedonia, and he was the son of Archelaus I, and he reigned from 399 BCE to 398 or 397 BCE, when his guardian, his uncle, Areopas II, killed or deposed him. Areopas, therefore, reigned alone until his death in 394 BCE or 393 BCE. Now, Areopas II, there are two traditions here. Areopas II, the son of Perdiccas II, was the king of Macedonia from 398 or 97 until his death from an illness in July or August 394 or 393 BCE. He first governed as guardian for his young nephew Orestes when Archelaus died in 400 or 399 BCE. However, Diodorus the historian, ancient historian, reports that Archelaus murdered Orestes 3 years later, but it's also possible that he'd simply won the support of the Macedonian nobility. As king, he took the name Archelaus. Areopas then had a son named Pausanias, but was succeeded instead by Amestis II, son of his great-uncle Menelaus. Two traditions relate how Areopas was overawed by either insolence or stratagems of the Spartan king Agesilaus, allowing his army free passage through Macedonia after their campaign in Asia. There is a minority view among scholars that Areopas was a Linestrian prince rather than of the Argead group who married into the dynasty, therefore enabling him later to become regent for Orestes. However, the majority of historians believe that he was Perdiccas' son, and thus an actual member of the dynasty. Well, that leads us to Amestis II. Amestis II reigned from July-August to August-September of 394 to 393 BCE. He became king in July after the death of Areopas II, but was soon assassinated by a Limenitan nobleman named Didrus, and succeeded by Areopas' son Pausanias. So he's kind of like a little footnote in here. He was likely the son of Menelaus, the second son of Alexander I, but he could also have been the son of Archelaus. The most influential view advanced by historian Hammond is Archelaus married his younger daughter to Amestis, or Amestis' son, in order to stave off a future power struggle with the line from Menelaus. Argument is based on a line from Aurelian's Varia Historia about Amestis being Menelaus' son. The alternative theory holds that the polygamist Archelaus married his son Amestis to his daughter to cement the branch's lines, half-brother and half-sister. Ptolemy of Aleros, future regent for Perdiccas III, was possibly the son of Amestis and Archelaus' unnamed daughter. Diodorus simply refers to Ptolemy as the son of Amestis, which Hammond argued means Amestis II, because all the other sons of Amestis III are accounted for. This is the problem you have when you use the same name over and over and over again. So now we come to Pausanias of Macedonia, king from August through September, 394 to 393 BC, to 393 to 392 BCE. He was king for about a year. He was the son of Areopas II, an unknown mother, but he did not succeed his father when Areopas died in July-August of 394-393. Instead, Amestis II ruled Macedonia for several months before being assassinated. Pausanias himself was assassinated sometime in 393-392 BCE by Amestis III, who then succeeded him as the king of Macedonia. However, Diodorus Siculus also entirely omits the reign of Amestis II, who all other ancient sources and modern scholars agree ruled before Pausanias. So another assassination takes place. Now we move on to somebody who reigns a little while longer. Amestis III. He reigned from 393 to 392 to 388 to 387. That's his first reign. And then he will give up the throne, and then he will come back again, and then will reign from 387 86 to 370 BCE. So even though we have a long liver here, he has his rule cut in half. Now, Amystasis III was the king, the member of the Argive dynasty through his father, Aristides, son of Amystasis, one of the sons of Alexander I. His most famous son is Philip II, the future father of Alexander the Great. Now, polygamy was used by Macedonian kings both before and after Amystasis to secure marriage alliances and to produce enough heirs to offset losses from interdynastic conflict. Consequently, Amystasis took two wives, Eurydice and Gygaia. He first married Eurydice, daughter of Cyrus, and maternal granddaughter of Lycestian king Arrhabaeus, probably in a Macedonian effort to strengthen the alliance with both the Illyrians and the Lycaonesians, or to detach the Lycaonesians from their historical alliance with the Illyrians. After the Macedonian defeat by the Illyrians, or an Illyrian-Lycaonesian invasion in 393, through Eurydice, Amystasis had three sons, all of whom became kings of Macedonia, one after the other, and a daughter, Eurynome. They would become Alexander II, Perdiccas III, Philip II. The Roman historian Justin relates several possible apocryphal stories about Eurydice and Eurynome. He claims that Eurynome prevented her mother and her lover, unnamed, but likely Ptolemy Aleros, from assassinating Amystasis late in his reign by revealing the plan to her father. However, Eurynome is not referred to by name in any other source, and moreover, is unlikely to have known the details of this supposedly secret plot. According to Justin, Amystasis spared Eurydice because they shared children, but that she would later help murder Alexander and Perdiccas in order to place Ptolemy on the throne. Alexander was in fact killed by friends of Ptolemy at a festival in 368 BCE, but the extent to which Eurydice knew of or participated in this plot is unknown. Perdiccas, on the other hand, assassinated Ptolemy in 365 BCE, only to be killed in battle with the Illyrians in 359 BCE. Amystasis likely married Gygaia soon after marrying Eurydice, because Gygaia's children made no attempt to claim the throne before 350 BCE, implying they were younger than Eurydice's children. Additionally, both Diodorus and Justin call Alexander II the eldest son of Amystasis. Through Gygaia, Amystasis had three more sons, Archelaus, Eurydius, and Menelaus. Unlike Eurydice's children, none of Gygaia's sons ascended to the throne and were all killed by their half-brother Philip II. Amystasis also adopted the Athenian general Hippocrates around 386 BCE in recognition of his military service and martial ties with the Thracian king Cotys I. Amystasis III became king in a troubled time in Macedonia. The unexpected death of the great-grandfather, King Alexander I, triggered a dynastic crisis between his five sons, Perdiccas II, Menelaus, Philip, Alcides, and Amystasis' grandfather, Amystasis. Perdiccas initially emerged victorious, extinguishing the line of Philip. The elder Amystasis eventually retired to his land at some point in the conflict and took no part in exercise of power. Archelaus, Perdiccas' son, ascended to the throne in 413 BCE and allegedly murdered Alcides and his son, thus eliminating that family branch as well. However, Archelaus would himself be killed, possibly murdered 400 to 399 BCE by his lover, Craterus. His death prompted another succession crisis, resulting in five kings ruling in less than 7 years, with nearly all ending violently. As Diodorus tells us, the younger Amystasis seized the throne at this point, 393-392 BCE, after assassinating the previous king, Pausanias. Following his ascension, Macedonia experienced no major internal political problems for the entirety of this king's reign, which is nice. Now, shortly before he became king in 393-392 BCE, he was driven out, Amystasis, who will be Amystasis III, was driven out by the Illyrians. But in the following year, with the aid of the Thessalians, he recovered his kingdom. Medius, the head of the house of the Aldeite of Larissa, is believed to have provided aid to Amestasis to recover his throne. The mutual relationships between the Argeidae and the Aeludae dates from this time, from the time of Archelaus. To shore up his country against threat from the Illyrians, Amestasis established an alliance with the Chalcidian League, led by Olynthus. In exchange for the support, Amestasis granted them rights to Macedonian timber, which was sent back to Athens to help fortify their fleet. With money flowing in, Olynthus, from these exports, their power grew. In response, Amestasis sought additional allies. He established connections with the Cotes, chief of the Odrysians. Cotes has already married his daughter to the Athenian general Hippocrates, preventing them from marrying into the Cotes family. Amestasis soon adopted the Athenian general as his son. That was his way of getting around that. After the king's peace of 387 BCE, Sparta was anxious to reestablish its presence in northern Greece. In 385 BCE, Bardalus and his Illyrians attacked Epirus, instigated and aided by Dionysius I of Syracuse, in an attempt to restore the Mausolean king Alcides I of Epirus to the throne. When Amestasis sought Spartan aid against the growing threat of Olynthus, the Spartans eagerly responded. That Olynthus was backed by Athens and Thebes, rivals of Sparta and control of Greece, provided them an additional incentive to break up this growing power in the north. Amestasis thus concluded a treaty with the Spartans, who assisted him in a war against Olynthus. First, Spartan-Macedonian forces suffered two defeats, but in 739 BCE they managed to destroy Olynthus. He also entered into a league with Jason of Pherae and assiduously cultivated the friendship of the Athenians. In 371 BCE, at a Panhellenic Congress of the Spartan allies, he voted in support of the Athenians' claim and joined other Greeks in voting to help Athens to recover their possession of Amphipolis. With Olynthus defeated, the Amestasis was now able to conclude a treaty with Athens and keep the timber revenues for himself. Amestasis shipped the timber to the house of the Athenian Timotheus in Piraeus. Amestasis III died age 50, leaving his throne to his eldest son, Alexander II. It's not that we have all these people, but every little sheikdom in the northern area of Greece has a different king with a different name, with a different spelling, and frequently they will use all the same background. So if you get confused, that's why you need a good book. So pick one of the books and the sources to help you out. I have one more little thing here, and it's Argeus II of Macedonia. He's a pretender to the Macedonian crown, and he may have been like a Nestorian ruler at some time. But at any rate, Argeus II expelled King Amestasis III from his dominions in 393 BCE and held the throne for 1 year. Then they expelled him. 35 years later, in 359 BCE, another Argeus appears as a pretender to the throne, and he may have been the same person as Argeus II. And he persuades the Athenians to support his claim to the Macedonian throne, but Philip II, who had just succeeded to the regency of the kingdom, persuaded the Athenians to remain inactive. So with a force of mercenaries, some Macedonian exiles and a number of Athenian troops were permitted to join the Macedonians by their general Menelaus, and Argeus made an attempt to take Age, but was repulsed. On his retreat to Methone, he was intercepted by Philip and defeated, and Argeus was either killed in battle or executed afterwards. So this may have been the first person, but it also could have been the second person. So I'm sorry this has been so wild and crazy, but we want to get to Philip. Now, the sources for this: The Politics by Aristotle, The Histories by Herodotus, Histories, 12 volumes, by Diodorus Siculus, Peloponnesian War by Thucydides, and The Lives by Plutarch, Philip and Alexander, Kings and Conquerors by Goldsworthy, History of Macedonia, Volume 1 and Volume 2 by Hammond, In the Shadow of Olympus, The Emergence of Macedonia by Borgia. So I hope you enjoyed that. And as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out our merchandise, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.